Run DNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The Run DNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into Run DNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to Run DNA.
Fair or fast, Sophie and Ben challenge each other with their sporting conundrums.
I have the new ball, and that's because Wallace isn't here to just apportion it out evenly, so I'm just going to take all of the credit and none of the responsibility. Here it is for you. Port Adelaide will not admit it, but they must now go through a serious rebuild. Fair or fast?
I mean, surely Port have to admit it. They missed finals and it's clearly time for a bit of a rebuild. So I'm going fair here. I mean, inherently, Ken Hinckley is out, right? A new coach, new game plan, Josh Carr. There's 9 spots now through retirements and delisting. It's going to be a very active trading period for Josh. Look, it was their worst year under the Hinckley coaching, I think. Their stats say that. And look, it's well documented that they struggled. I'll give it to them. There was a lot of injuries this year. Stars such as Sam Powell Pepper sat out for injuries for a lot of the year. So look, maybe if those didn't happen, it's a better year for them. But look, I think it's a rebuild for Port for sure.
Completely disagree. I think this is a pass. I actually like Port Adelaide's list. It's not perfect, but it's competitive. They've got a decent, cheap ruck in Jordan Sweet. Butters is an elite midfielder. They've got Rosie and Jason Horne-Francis in there. Georgiadis and Jack Lukosius up forward. Alier down back is the key guy. They've got attacking defenders like Farrell, Jones, Burgoyne. Get everyone on the park. I think they've got a lot of solid roots. Injury aside, they're a decent list. It would be a waste to go nuclear on it now. Fast, they don't need a serious rebuild. They just need a little bit of a touch-up. They'll be all right. I reckon they can make the 8 again next year if they have a crack.
Yeah, good points, Hookie. I do agree. They do have a good core group, but I'm sticking to my guns. Rebuild it is. All right, Hookie. Yesterday we learned Connor Rosie and Jordan Dawson are SA's highest paid AFL footballers. Nobody cares about how much these guys are paid. Fair or farce?
Oh, do we care? Yeah. We care. Of course we care. We care massively. This is the biggest sport in Australia, and any fair assessment of anyone in the competition involves what they're inherently worth. We should know. We should know what they're getting. And in the case of transferred players, we should know who was footing the bill. I mean, I always laugh about Brody Grundy, who is the ruckman at the Sydney Swans. He went from Collingwood to Melbourne to the Sydney Swans. I want to know who's paying the wages of this bloke. So he was on an enormous contract at Collingwood. It got picked up by Melbourne and then it got handed over to Sydney. Now, he's an All-Australian player this year. Well, he missed out on All-Australian. He's very unlucky, but he was in the All-Australian squad. He's probably on $900,000 to $1 million a year. No one really knows. But imagine if the Sydney Swans are only spending maybe a third of that wage on Brody Grundy and they've got an All-Australian squad ruckman. I want to know. I think fans like me who pay the wages deserve the disclosure. And I actually reckon, Soph, it probably shouldn't stop there either. Do you know about Champion Data? Champion Data is the organisation that provides this incredible array of statistical information that isn't available to the public. It's only the right holders and major media that get access to it. Why? I mean, I buy KO. I watch the ads on Channel 7. I pay for my footy tickets most of the time, not all the time. So I just reckon that I should have access to Champion Data stats. There are so many people who are very, very statistically minded who could use the information, who deserve it because they invest in the game. And look, while I'm at it, this relates to you and me, right? So imagine that you and I decide that we're going to do Sophie and Hookie's AFLW show or AFL show, and we decide that we want to put it on YouTube. And if we talk about Ebony Marinoff, for example, we want to show some nice vision of Ebony Marinoff. But if we lift that vision and put it up and make money out of it on YouTube, we get copyrighted by the AFL for lifting what is their vision. because we don't own the vision. I mean, actually, yes, we do. We pay for it every month. We get hold of it through our Foxtel subscription or whether we watch Channel 7. Now, as long as we don't make a profit out of resharing live matches, I don't understand why it doesn't hurt anyone. I mean, the NBA is a classic example of a sport that is a free-for-all. If you and I decided to do an NBA podcast tomorrow and we decided to show vision of the NBA, we're allowed to use it. No problem at all. The PGA Tour, on the other hand, they hide behind this thing called a DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And any people like us who are just trying to promote the sport, they lose access to the vision. They get their credentials revoked because they use that vision. That's kind of the way the AFL is heading. And I think it is completely, completely wrong. I know what you're going to say here. You're going to say you didn't answer the first question. You just wanted to get something off your chest. And you're absolutely right. In fact, I forgot the question, but whatever it is, it's a farce.
Look, I wasn't actually going to say that. I was really enjoying that rant. But you did. Yeah, you did go on a rant. And I was wondering how you're going to tie this one back in. But look, I can kind of see where you're going. I can definitely see where you're going. And look, I actually tend to agree with you. I actually agree with you. I don't think knowing what they earn changes whether or not I want to watch them. It doesn't, you know, create, you know, if they're earning the big bucks, it doesn't create a desire for me to go out there and want to watch them. But what I do think is interesting is knowing what the club thinks that player is worth. And I think you can kind of tell where the club is leading that team and what path they kind of want to go down. And the only other thing that I would add to your rant is Australians love sport and we do hold our athletes at a very high standard. And I think when you support a club, these athletes in turn represent you. And I think it's kind of important to know how much that club is paying them and how much we should be putting them on that pedestal, or not necessarily, you know, putting them on a throne, but kind of knowing what we should be expecting from them in terms of the club.
It's a fair point. I think the only argument against publicising AFL player wages is that 99% of the people in the media are going to use that as a wedge against the player. Mm-hmm. They're going to say he's on $600,000 a year and he's only got 4 kicks and 3 handballs and 2 marks in this game. And there'll be, you know, all of those arguments. Oh, that's like he got $100,000 a kick for that week. You know, that's ridiculous. It's not quite that much, but you know what I mean? There will be an element that will just use those numbers as a way to denigrate the player. And I'm uncomfortable with that side of it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's sort of part of the swings and roundabouts of these enormous salaries that is driven by the fact that organisations pay huge TV rights, and they pay huge TV rights because we essentially pay the freight, you and I do so. And I think it is incumbent upon the AFL, therefore, to share the information. So if a couple more to get us out. I love this one that I thought about. Netball Australia's pursuit of a new rights deal featuring the potential for free-to-air coverage is perfect timing for a sport on the rise. Fair or farce?
Let's just appreciate for a second just a slight little pat on the back for yourself. I guess someone's got to do it for you, Ben, so you might as well do it yourself.
I don't get any from you, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, you're right, Ben. It is actually, to be fair, it's an interesting question because early negotiations have started with Netball Australia. Fox Sports, their deal is due to expire. I think it was about a $35 million deal that they had. And look, Netball Australia is looking to return to free-to-air. Look, I think it is good timing. I'm going to say it. I think it's going to expand their audience and make them be able to reach out with the free-to-air scheme. There's been a recent addition of the Silver Ferns during the free agency period, and this has completely strengthened the competition. I know that our Thunderbirds have picked up some Silver Ferns, and that's incredible. I think the game is building. I think spectatorship is increasing. And look, I think there's something really special if all people can access it for free to air, and they can just click on the TV, and maybe the netball's playing, and they just sit down and start watching it. I think it's a good thing, and I think it's good timing.
Hard disagree. This is a terrible time to be trying to negotiate a rights deal for a sport like netball. They're putting on a brave face, but I fear for their next deal. AFL footy isn't the issue. It's the NRL that is coming for every possible cent that is on the table for sporting rights deals right now. Their current deal expires in 2027. They've currently got 8 games a week because they've got 17 teams. So 16 teams play, one team has a bye. They've got the Perth Bears that'll come in 2027 and a Papua New Guinea team that comes in 2028, I beg your pardon. So they'll have 9 games by 2027. They'll be asking for a far bigger piece of the pie. They'll have their hand out. They're already courting DAZN, who are the owners of Fox and KO and the pay TV arm. Mm-hmm. And then they've got this remarkable thing that no one else has in free-to-air coverage, and that's State of Origin. And I can assure you that that will be a massive wedge in any part of new deal for the NRL. So I just ponder this question to you, Soph. Yes, I think it's wonderful that they're trying to get back into the free-to-air market. I think that's really mm-hmm. important for a sport like netball. But how much money is going to be left on the table for a relatively minor sport when the AFL has already done it and the NRL is about to take everything that is on the table, the plates, the knives, the forks, the placemats, the coasters, you name it. Those sports that are just hungry for everything are going to try and take everything off the table. And I'm worried about what's going to be left for netball. And therefore, I worry about, will their best athletes be heading for the footy codes that we've been seeing in the past 10 years? I think it's a terrible time for netball. I really worry for them.
Yep, Hooky, very good argument. Well, let's go straight back to you. Adelaide's teenager, Indy Cotton, has turned his back on a career in elite basketball to sign a Category B rookie with the Crows. The AFL's destruction of other sports for its own gain is out of hand. Fair or farce?
Yeah, I read about this story. Indy Cotton mm-hmm. is the son of Jared Cotton, who's been a big name in SNFL footy, played a little bit of AFL footy, coached Norwood not once but twice, and I've worked quite a bit with the Norwood Football Club, so I know Jared really well, lovely bloke. Know a little bit about his son, star basketballer. He's given that away. He's a Category B rookie for the Crows. This is fair, Soph. A special spot on a list for any athlete pilfered from another sport, I just find it's a bit cheeky. It's not the most egregious thing the AFL does, and I can kind of understand that when you're in the market for talent and you've got a lot of cash, handing young talent money to give up the sport that they're probably better at because you might be able to develop them into something else is a really clever, slightly crafty, slightly cheeky way of going about it. It's a bit of a rocky slope. So, yeah, fair. It's probably getting out of hand. I do worry about it. But at the same time, I kind of secretly admire it. And he might end up being a 150-game star for the Adelaide Football Club, Indy Cotton. And you can't argue with the fact that they've gone and ripped him out of basketball when they have done. What do you think?
Yeah, look, it's a very good point that you make. And look, this happens in so many sports. If we turn over to America and we just look at American football, basketball and baseball, I mean, it happens there as well.
Your point is very well made. That is actually something I did not think about. American football does it to Australian football all the time. They mm-hmm. have wonderful arrangements in place that people who would never go to college suddenly end up with college scholarships and getting degrees out of the fact that they can boot a ball 60 yards down a field. So you have identified something that I did not think about. It's a very good point.
Where's Wallace when you need him? And I need a copy of this recording. Oh, my Lord. But look, that is exactly
who knows point. If we've actually got one.
Exactly. This might not be recorded, so it might not be there for me to listen back to. But look, again, and I look at Indy Cotton and I think inherently there's more opportunity in AFL. It's only played in Australia with 18 teams, 22 players per team, not including the amount on a squad. And look, I don't think it's destroying our sport. It's not damaging it. There's ebbs and flows. Look, I don't think it's getting out of hand. Sorry, Hooky.
No, look, I find it hard to argue with this so far. I just think it's cheeky. It's not diabolical, but yeah, in a country like Australia, where you're trying to feed what's ultimately going to be 20 teams, when we mm-hmm. see Tasmania and another team, whether it's out of Canberra or Darwin or whatever it is, a third team out of Perth, and that's probably 10 years away, you've got to find the talent somehow, and mm-hmm. taking it off other sports, if you can't develop them yourselves from a kid, probably makes sense. Well done. Love that. Can I wrap you up with Hooky's Power Rankings for the week?
You can definitely can. I'm looking forward to it. Are we having 20? Are we having 30? Who knows?